The BBC presents My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreier. And here's Steve Race to introduce the teams.
Hello. Once again, My Music takes the air. Just for this week, I'm afraid Frank Muir can't be with us. In his place, we're delighted to welcome the comedy scriptwriter Barry Took. So, it's David Franklin and Barry Took versus Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. First round, gentlemen. 2 marks for correctly answering what and by whom. Mark each. And first question, as always, to David Franklin.
During the early part of my singing career, I spent some time as a eunuch in a harem.
Ah, yes.
And this music I heard night after night in Mozart's opera, Die Entführung aus dem Serail, which is wrongly titled in Italian, Il Seraglio.
Yes, the harem, or Escape from the Harem. A mark for the title. Did you give me the composer?
Mozart.
Yes, the other mark, Mozart. Thank you. And Dennis Norden, your turn to identify some music.
Beautiful. You don't really. During the early part of my musical career, I spent some of the time at the Cricklewood Palais. You didn't hear anything like this. So I haven't the faintest idea. I tell you what, it's the sort of music that magicians use when they've got one of those cabinets on the stage and they stick swords in it, and as they spin it round, they play that kind of thing. Wait a minute, a message has just come through.
It is a kind of...
I must read it as I receive it. Try Wagner, not too confident.
Well, misplaced confidence, not Wagner at all. Later, considerably later. Shall I give him a hint?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Well, if you went in a pub called the Phoenix, you might hear this music.
An Irish pub?
No. Wrong kind of your
Firebird. Stravinsky.
Well, half a mark out of two, I think, don't you, since I gave it to you? Yes. The Firebird, a theme from the Firebird Suite by Stravinsky. Half a mark there. Ian, you always do the work, and then you get your turn. Identify this, please.
Very gay, isn't it? If I'd had to draw a quick bow at a venture, I would have said Handel.
No. Spring or Primavera from The Seasons, The Four Seasons by Vivaldi. And now, in the absence of Frank Muir, we turn to our guest, Barry Took. Barry, what's this, and by whom, please?
This is the act that followed Dennis Norden's magician. Yes. A tumbling act called the Seven Rossinis. And they came on and played to this music, and they balanced in the air. And they were a beautiful act, and they used to wear red and white. And
seesaws.
A beautiful thing. I've just been passed a message which says, get well soon, Frank. Nothing to add. No, the message goes on.
Oh, sorry.
The message does go on to say, Liszt's Hungarian Dance.
Well, the first part of the message was better than the second part, I have to tell you. It's not anything to do with Liszt or Hungarian. Well, it's Hungarian, perhaps. Yes.
Monty Sárdás?
Say that again.
Was that Monty Sárdás?
Yes, Barry.
Well, now.
Whatever made you say that? Have you got a prompting machine underneath it?
No, it just suddenly, when you said Hungarian, it suddenly, the whole ludicrous thing,
well,
all the pieces fell into place. Yes.
Let us waste no more time in giving you two barks out of two.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show.
I was just trying you out.
We turn now to the subject of operas and what is loosely termed their plots. David Franklin, the scene is set in a place where the profane rites of love are celebrated to appropriate music. In fact, we find the hero with his head in a lady's lap. If you can bring yourself to contemplate anything so shameless, can you tell me, please, the name of the opera and, perhaps you'd better whisper this, the lady's name?
Was the chap's head in the lady's lap still attached to his body?
Yes.
Pity, I was going to say Salome. German?
Yes.
Strauss?
I always fall for this one. No.
Not Strauss?
No, no.
Oh, well, then it must be Tannhäuser.
Ian's friend. Yes, Tannhäuser, the gentleman, the opera, and the name of the lady, then.
Well, the lady.
Lovely lady.
Venus.
Yes. Venus, thank you. Mark for Tannhäuser, Mark for Venus. Dennis Norden, this opera is by an Italian composer. It starts with Henry Ashton talking to Norman, upset because his sister won't marry Arthur Bucklaw. What is his sister's name?
It's an Italian opera.
Italian
opera.
Oh, composer.
It is. It's a well-known Italian. I mean, you can see the my sister won't marry Arthur. It's
Arthur Bucklaw.
Mia sorella non voglio sposare Arthur Bucklaw.
Arturo.
Arturo Bucklaw, yeah. Riggle Arthur. No. I haven't the faintest idea, and you know jolly well I haven't. Ian, have you sung Bucklaw?
No, I've never sung Bucklaw or Arthur or his sister-in-law.
We thought you might have read the book, Dennis. The book's better known, I think, than the opera. Well, was at one
the
time.
The book
anyway.
Is better known than the opera. Ah, Lucia de Lammermoor.
Thank you very much. Lucy.
Or Lucia, isn't it?
Yes. Ian Wallace, Luther is a bass who keeps a beer cellar. Niklaus, spelt as in the golfer Jack Niklaus, is a young man who sings mezzo-soprano, unlike the golfer. And Stella, who plays an opera singer, doesn't sing at all. What is the name of the opera?
Luther keeps a beer hall.
Yes.
Niklaus...
It's a young man who sings mezzo-soprano.
He's got a problem,
isn't he? I wouldn't have thought the beer would have done him much good either.
And Stella, who plays an opera singer, doesn't sing at all. This is very unusual.
Well, I should think that this is the Tales of Hoffmann.
You'll be right for your two marks. Thank you.
Thank you.
The first tale. Lovely. Barry Took, in this opera, there's a play within a play, and it's not Midsummer Night's Dream. Canio and Neda play the main parts. Under what names? Your friend wishes to prompt you.
Yes, the answer to this is Monty Sárdás.
Can't win them all.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I would keep going. And, a play within a play.
Yeah.
I've been prompted again. The same spirit has lighted on my shoulder. At least I think it was a spirit that lighted on my shoulder then. I would hazard a guess, then, that it was Pagliacci.
Whose guess would you be hazarding?
David.
Yes. I want the names of the people, then.
Ah.
So one would be...
No,
we got Canio...
Stall him off for a moment.
Listen, Canio and Neda, and I want their names. They play Canio and Neda.
Harlequin and Columbine.
Yes, well, Columbine, Columbina, and Pagliaccio, the other one.
Oh, I see.
His name.
I mean, I'm totally ignorant of things.
Well, you'll be all right now. We now go back to the nursery. You're going to hear an extract from a well-known nursery rhyme. Can you give, please, the title from the bit you hear for two marks, David?
Nobody asked you, sir. She said, sir, she said, nobody asked you.
This is a nursery rhyme?
So I'm reliably
a lot sexier since I was a child.
Well, it's this new comprehensive education.
First line would do.
The first line would do, you see, Dave.
Yes, I do.
I mean, all you need is the first line and the rest will all sort of slot into place.
I'm going to kill you on this one. The title of the piece, Where Are You Going To, My Pretty Maid, as the audience knew, I think. No marks. Dennis Norton, one for you.
My master's mask is middling stick and don't know what to do.
I don't think Italian. I'm not doing Italian nursery rhymes if the others are doing English.
I didn't get a word. What did he say? What did he say?
He's lost his fiddling stick and he doesn't know what to do.
Oh, something cockadoodle-oo. My sister's got the flu. My aunt.
Yes, yes.
My aunt has got the whooping cough. And, yeah.
Cockadoodle-oo for two marks, yeah. That is.
Well done.
And a nursery rhyme for Ian.
Chip, chop, chip, chop.
You know. We used to
what
play.
Do you know. Yeah.
It's
like when people say, you know, you want to go down there and you can't miss it.
First on the left. This chip, is what. Yeah, it's chop. What you get kids chip. On at children's parties chop. When they get violent. It's that, you know, where they hold hands and the. Yes. Oranges and lemons.
Thank you
yes,
for
and
two
bills of St. Clement. Yes.
Oranges and lemons. Dennis is right. Barry, listen very closely to this one.
There I met an old man who wouldn't say his prayers, so I took him by the...
If we'd ever done this on Round the Horn...
We'd have had trouble.
I took him by the...
No, you have to complete the line.
Oh,
you have
I see.
To give me the title of the song.
I see, yes. Well, I'll think during the next set of questions and
right.
Come back with
the
answer.
Okay, meanwhile, no marks, and I'll ask the audience, what's the title of it?
Goosey Goosey Gander.
Thank you. Goosey Goosey Gander.
Ah. Well, you see, I didn't know that.
And we move on, see what happens in the next round. General musical knowledge, two marks here. David Franklin. Cunning question this. How large was the band at the Cornish floral dance?
Well, we missed. Would you believe trombone for 1 point?
not a chance.
No, it's going to be trombone one. Fiddle, cello. Big bass drum. I'll do it the situation.
Bassoon, flute.
Bassoon, flute, and euphonium. All the music of the floral dance.
How many? Seven.
Seven.
I'll give you one mark out of two. It's a nine-piece band. Cornet, clarinet and big trombone, fiddle, cello, big bass drum, bassoon, flute and euphonium. Dennis, what is common time?
Well, while Ian writes, please, the best time, I'm talking Richmond Common now, is about half past eight in the... For what in a bar? Four beats in a bar.
Yes. What sort of beats would you...
No. You're just presuming on my ignorance. Anecdotes.
Crotchets.
Crotchets.
Crotchets, yes. You can tell Ian was a medical student at one point.
Yes, four crotchets in a bar. Four time equals common time. Two marks. Ian, dance band people talk about the front line. Take the front line away, and what have you got left?
The reserves.
It's the ones whose jackets don't fit.
In other words, yes, it's the ones that are not covered by those music stands with the badges and the flags on them. Well, you take away the front line, and you're left with a rhythm section.
Thank you for two marks. The rhythm section is exactly right. Barry Took, how do you play the bouzouki and where?
I would guess, and this is only a guess, that if I was a Greek, which I'm not, as it happened, I would play it by sort of strumming it because it would be a sort of a variation on a Greek stringed instrument.
You've got two marks out of two. Bouzouki played like a mandolin in Greece. Two marks. In each of these tune titles, gentlemen, there's a man's name first. Two marks if you can tell me what the name is. I don't think this round should detain us very long. David.
Burlington Bertie.
Yes, Bertie being the man's name. Dennis, your turn.
That's the celebrated head hanger down, Tom Dooley.
Yes, so Tom is the name there. Christian name for Ian.
John.
Oh, John, oh, John, how you've got love. Yes. And Barry, you're, of course, getting all the questions we reserved for Frank. Anyway, here's one for you, a first name.
Alf.
or what's it all about?
Exactly. Yes. Exactly what's it all about. I haven't the faintest idea. Give me a clue.
I can't give you a clue, no. Can I? Like an apple on the head or something.
Something.
Like that.
Something
oh, Bill. You mean William?
William.
William from William Tell.
William Tell. Yeah, half a mark out of the two.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. Half a mark there. I said it wouldn't detain us long, and it didn't. In this round, Graham Daly plays the start of a well-known song, and you pick up the words and music from where he leaves off, please. Not back to the beginning, from where he leaves off. The result is often an enriching musical experience. 3 marks for a good effort, and a song for and from David.
Was I awaiting at the church?
Altogether waiting at the church.
There was I waiting at the church. There was I.
Very near. I thought that was excellent. Beautifully sung. Beautifully sung.
Stick around.
I think 2 out of 3, don't you, audience?
Yeah.
Let's see how Dennis gets on.
I'm not quite sure whether... Is it all by itself in the
yes.
movie?
Yes.
Well, that goes... Because he tried to confuse me there, didn't he? There ain't no sense sitting on the fence all by yourself in the moonlight. There ain't no thrill by a water mill. What thrill could there possibly be? You know, all you get is a sense of the Thames Conservancy Board. Well, why is that in the moonlight?
I think that's 2 out of 3 as well, isn't it? Ian, your turn.
I'm full of beer what? On the loveliest night of the year. I'm so full of cheer on the loveliest night of the year. Don't ask me to steer on the loveliest night of the year.
Three. Yeah. Or two, give or take one. No, two, I think there. lots of words here. Stars twinkle above, you almost can touch them from here. Words fall into rhyme and so on. Yours is much nicer. Song for Barry.
So 10 more days I'll be out of the calaboose.
Oh.
He away in 11 more months and 10 more days. They're going to set me loose in 11 more months and 10 more days. I'll get me out of the calaboose.
Well, you've got 2.5 out of 3 because you actually switched 2 of the lines. In 11 more months and 10 more days, I'll be out of the calaboose comes first. 11 more months and 10 more days, they're going to turn me loose. And we move on. A round of questions which perhaps aren't quite as easy as they seem for 2 marks. No, I think for 3 marks. Let's make it for 3 marks. David, when Wagner's Siegfried Idyll was given its very first performance, how large was the audience and where were they?
They were in bed.
Ask silly questions, you get silly answers. It's true.
The audience consisted of 2. Yes. Wagner's wife, Mrs. Wagner, and his infant son, who was asleep at the time.
I'm going to give you 3 marks out of 3, David, and tell you...
And so you should.
No, and tell you, just for interest, that the audience consisted of 3, not 2, because just by chance, Nietzsche was a house guest that Christmas, and he was staying in the house at the time.
Yes, but we didn't talk about him at the time.
There was a lot of gossip at the time. Nothing came of it.
Anyway, thus spoke David Franklin. He was right. He gets 3 marks there. Dennis, if the soft pedal halves a piano's volume, what does the loud pedal do?
I've got an idea. I know what you want me to say.
Yes.
It dips the headlights. Other than that, I can only say is it doubles, does it?
Well, no.
To the rescue, Ian.
It takes a sort of damper thing off the strings and allows them to go on echoing in a way that they would not do if the pedal was left as it is.
And that's not the same as being louder.
Well, I don't think you would say that it doubles it as opposed to... I wouldn't say the soft pedal even halved it. It depends how hard the person hits the notes anyway in the first place.
Well, the question's wrong in the first place.
I would say it allows the notes to echo on.
Right.
Yes,
that's
well,
what I would say.
Your side gets 3 out of 3. Mm-hmm. A soft pedal could halve a piano's volume. It's a popular fallacy that the loud pedal makes it louder. It does not. It allows the notes to sustain. In fact, its proper name is the sustaining pedal. Loud pedal is a misnomer. Ian, your turn. If you go into a really first-rate musical instrument shop, how can you tell the difference between a first trumpet and a second trumpet?
Well, I don't see that it makes any difference whether you go into a first-class music instrument shop or a second-class one. The first trumpet's the first one you see.
Crafty old thing.
And the first trumpet is the one that plays the first trumpet part, as opposed to the chap who sits at the next desk and plays the second trumpet part. And sometimes there is even a third trumpet part. And in some orchestras, several trumpets play the first trumpet part and several play the second.
I'm going to give you 1.5 for effort out of 3. In fact, you walked straight into this one, I'm afraid, Ian. There is no difference at all between the instruments, the first trumpet and the second trumpet, only in the parts they play.
Well, I would say that was implied in the first part of my answer when I said it was the first one you saw. What a fair-minded audience we have here tonight.
And because of that implication, you get 1.5 out of 3.
I should be lodging a protest formally.
Barry, when a brass band is on the march, do the piccolos go at the front or the back? And for what particular reason?
Then what did she say to you? Actually, I was going to give the totally wrong answer to this, but David came to my rescue and mumbled things into my ear.
Oh, he does like
it. But anyway, the thing is that the piccolo will be very hard to find in a brass band.
Nay, impossible.
Because a brass band consists only of brass instruments, and the piccolo is a woodwind.
Yes, it would belong in a military band, perhaps, but not in a brass band. 3 marks for Mr. Barry Took. I'm afraid that's the end of my music for this week. Our thanks to Barry Took for joining us. It's a victory by 3 marks for Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. Goodbye.
Taking part in my music were David Franklin, Barry Took, Dennis Norden and Ian Wallace. Graham Daly was at the keyboard and the chairman was Steve Race. Questions were compiled by Edward J. Mason, and the program was produced in London by Tony Schreier.